Is he my prince? Is he the toad? Waiting, wondering, is getting too old. I'm gonna let down my hair, slide up my skirt. Get me out and be the biggest little flirt. Welcome to the Shame-Free Zone with Veronica Monet, your friendly former sex worker and certified sexologist. The Shame-Free Zone is a safe place for your questions and your secrets about all things sexual.
Hey, this is Veronica Monet, host of the Shame Free Zone, and I got a question for you. Actually, I got a couple of questions for you. Do you wake up in a cold sweat, unsure of what the future holds? Are you facing foreclosure, maybe a dismal job market, or feeling that you're not prepared for the golden years of retirement? Feeling fat and out of shape? Depressed, angry, and a little bit scared? Well, don't be paralyzed with fear. Because fear is just made up bullshit anyway. You've probably created 42 different scenarios of how life is going to turn out badly with all the voices that shoulda, woulda, and coulda screaming their disappointment and blame. My guest tonight is Beverly Harbor Gopp. She's the author and gratitude guru of Choose Gratitude, Not Attitude, Even When the Shit Hits the Fan, and Be Grateful. She's a motivational coach and the creator of Walking in the Now, and Coach B has successfully mastered the steps in altering her life as well as the lives of others. She's going to tell us a little bit about her journey and how it is that she's able to maintain such a positive attitude in the face of so much adversity, which I know a lot of us are going through. You know, you might be upside down in your home, you might have lost your job, you might have been looking for work for the last year, who knows? But there's a lot of hard luck stories out there, and Beverly's got a way to turn all of that into a smile. Beverly, welcome to the Shame-Free Zone.
Oh, thank you so much, Veronica. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm glad to have you here. You know, for our listeners, you and I met a few months back in San Diego at the 21st Century Book Marketing Conference, and it was kind of love at first sight. We just seemed to really resonate and hit it off.
For sure. I love that. I love that. Yeah, it's been great working with you. It's been very enjoyable.
Right back at you. Now, can you tell me a little bit about, for our listeners' sake, obviously, what was it that was, you know, what's your hard luck story? What happened to you to cause you to feel down?
Sure. Well, I was in the mortgage industry, and we all know how that turned out. So,
yes.
you know, my six-figure income that I was very happy living the lifestyle with and in ended. And the company I worked for, the lender I worked for, closed their doors. Loans in the pipeline, didn't even fund that day, and we had no advance notice. We just went in, cleared out our desks, said goodbyes, and drank some champagne, you know? Mm. And it was through that and going to work for another company, and now this is early 2007 when nobody's funding any loans. The economy has just, we've just taken a dump.
Wow, yeah.
And so making such little money in the next time span with the next company, it really kind of cemented the decision of not wanting to participate in that corporate game anymore, in that negativity. And of
Absolutely.
Course, you know, with that decision of leaving corporate America, also comes the decision of what are you going to do? And it was going through foreclosure, through losing all of our savings and retirement, through running out of unemployment and not having any other options, and seeing the foreclosure notice that really propelled me into gratitude and seriously, Veronica, changed my life.
Well, okay, so you lost your job. Obviously, the real estate industry not doing so hot right now. That's just an understatement. But did you go out and try to find a new job?
Oh, of course. I mean, look, I'm an outgoing, bubbly, vivacious person. Nobody has ever not wanted me before. You know what I mean? It's quite an adjustment to not be wanted, I have to tell you.
Oh.
It was very challenging, and that really pounds on one's psyche, as you can imagine, and so many people can relate to, because it's much more than just finding a job, because now you're battling the loss of identity and the loss of being that support mechanism for a family structure. So, you know, it can quickly lead to depression and anger and fear and, you know, just, you know, the suicidal rate since 2005 has gone up like something like 23%.
Oh, my. No, I did not
know
that.
And 40% of those are white males.
Wow.
Because of their standing as the, you know, household member that's usually most of the financial, you know, support comes from him.
Yeah, right.
Just, you know, just to give you some statistics, one in every 634 homes will receive a foreclosure notice, or actually did receive a foreclosure notice in 2011.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy? One in every 634.
Right.
So I know people can relate to this because you just, you know, you don't know what to do. The worst gets worser.
Yeah. So in your journey now, what was it that you found to be grateful for? How did you even get the idea to become grateful? I mean, I think as you shared with me that you actually started taking walks in nature. Isn't that true?
Of course. Yeah. I'm very blessed to live in San Diego. So the temperature here is, you know, very, very warm, and the climate is great. I live in paradise. And it's having that awareness of wherever your paradise is finally stepping outside your own shit, if you will, and look around you. And so I started taking a camera with me, and I would notice, like, the red ladybug on a green leaf, the way the light dappled in through the leaves, the way God seemed to speak to you when a butterfly went by. And so putting myself in the now of that moment, because in that moment there were no collectors, there were no foreclosure notices, there were no zero balances or overdrafts or anything like that. And so what I learned was I'm amplifying that positive vibration, and that's what manifesting your future is. It's concentrating on the vibration of the positive emotion, and you amplify that to get to the next level. So it's not about changing the negative so much as amplifying the positive, and I'll speak more of that as we go on.
Okay, so you were out in nature, and you started looking at a ladybug, but how does that start inculcating gratitude for you? For some people,
this would be
an interesting distraction, and then they'd go back to feeling bad.
Sure, of course. I used to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning in the cold sweats thinking, oh, my God, I'm going to lose my house. My husband's shop that he's had for 30 years is on our property. That means he's going to lose his business and all the equipment in there. I mean, it's scarier than hell. So I would wake up at 3 in the morning, and instead of laying there for an hour and a half hoping I'd get back to sleep with all the thoughts drumming in my head and giving me a migraine, I finally would wake up, turn on the light, and start writing my gratitude statements. I'm grateful for breath. I'm grateful for feet that can walk. I'm grateful for my husband who supports me and loves me and brings me socks when my feet are cold. I'm grateful for the snoring of my dogs that are by my side who love me and trust me. So it was through that got me through it, because the more I brought in the positive, the more I was grateful for what I had instead of for what I lacked, the more I had in my line of vision, and then out to my peripheral, I saw all that I was grateful for, and I saw more and more that I was grateful for, And that's what started manifesting and coming into my life. We got a loan modification, like friggin' 10 days before the trustee sale.
Wow.
You know what I mean? It just, it's the universe giving me confirmation, of course, right? I mean.
So how it worked for you then was that as you became grateful, things started to work better.
Yes, of course, yes. And then I started, you know, I've always wanted to be a writer since I was, I entered my first little contest with a poem when I was like 8 or 9 or something. So, and writing is in my family. So, it was easy to take the gratitude that I was feeling when I was out on these walks and turn it into blogs. And I used to send it to all my mortgage friends who were now depressed and angry and going through their own foreclosure, right?
Right, right.
And that's how it all started, was really just wanting to motivate and inspire and share the story of how easy it is, really.
So tell us a little bit about the workbook. How does it... How do you do a gratitude workbook? I'm not sure how that works.
This is Choose Gratitude, Not Attitude, Even When Shit Hits the Fan, is a 30-day journal. So even though the stories are wonderful and great and you really want to just keep reading through the whole thing, it's meant to do one day at a time so that you have a story each day that gives you a different lesson on when... Well, just like it says, even when shit hits the fan. So when you have a crappy day, you can still pull the gratitude out of it anyway. You know, there's great stories in there like, we have a little over 5 acres here in San Diego, and we can shoot on our property. It's legal. And so my husband likes to do target practice.
Okay.
Well, we have 2 dogs and a cat. And at this particular time when I'm writing about, my sister's dogs were here as well, and she has 2 of them. And he didn't warn me that he was going to go shooting. So by the time the gunshots are going, I'm using the facilities, and I've got 5 dogs under my feet all cowering underneath me. And so you get, you know, very angry, right? Like, oh, why didn't he tell me? And I hate that noise. I don't like guns, blah, blah, go into my story. And what I learned in that moment, as these dogs were crowded in the bathroom with me, was how much Dewey enjoys it and how the dogs are just coming to me for protection, but it's really going to be okay, as it always is. And I just turned it around with gratitude for something that he enjoys, and something that I'm willing to go, okay, it bugs me, but I'm giving it to you because you enjoy it so much, and having gratitude for that. So I pull out 10 gratitudes in that story to give the readers and the participants the example of how to do that for something that bugs you. And this is a funny little story, too. And so each day, as they go through the stories, then they write out their own gratitude. And there's pictures of nature on every page because, of course, you know, I'm out in nature looking at life through the lens of a camera, right? So I've become a pretty good photographer, if I do say so myself.
I think you're an excellent photographer, frankly. It's a beautiful book, absolutely beautiful book.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So,
now you self-published this, right?
I did, and boy, is that the way to go. So yes, that was. I actually went through a division underneath Amazon.
And that's actually what you've been helping me do is, because I'm published through Alpha Books, which is a division of Penguin. And like a lot of authors who have been published by major presses, we're all kind of floundering now and trying to figure out where we go next, because publishers have become very shy. And, of course, some bookstores are closing, and the whole industry is just going through a total facelift.
Yes, well, Amazon, of course, has become a giant and a huge key player.
Absolutely.
And when you self-publish, you control so much more, and you get a lot more royalty. So the way to do it is to self-publish and then submit to your publishing houses after you have a track record of sales. Right. And it really gets their attention. As a matter of fact, I'm doing a lot of coaching now for other authors as well. Isn't it funny how life changes courses? It's fun helping them with their books. Wouldn't you say that the process has been pretty easy?
It has. It has, and exciting. I mean, because the whole idea that instead of just waiting to hear whether or not your book proposal is going to get accepted, you know, to know that this book is going to see the light of day is a very exciting thing.
For sure.
Yeah, yeah. So you're working on a new book, or you've just published a new book?
I published a new book right before Christmas, Be Grateful. This is really inspirational verse. So they're poetic stanzas coupled then with pictures of nature. So, like, for example, one of them is a picture of a cactus, you know, with the stickery, spiny thing sticking up, and it says, be grateful for the pain that lays in the dark. They're the lessons to remind us by leaving a mark.
Mm.
So, you know, just things like that to just remind us to have gratitude. And then it's mixed with scenes of nature to just, you know, really kind of hit home with that message.
Yeah, yeah. Well, okay. And then if people want to get a copy of this book, how do they do it?
Or everything's on Amazon. Books. So you can go to Amazon.com and just, for the first one, instead of typing in the whole title, choose gratitude, not attitude, even when shit hits the fan. Just
right.
Type in choose gratitude, not attitude. It'll pop up. And then the second one is be grateful. But while you're on the first one, just hit the author name, Beverly Harbor Gopp, and both books will pop up.
Hmm. Well,
voila.
It's just wonderful, and they are absolutely beautiful books. The photography is exquisite. I'm sure people will really, really enjoy them.
Ah, thank you.
And we're also going to talk about something else tonight. You've recently auditioned for the Vagina Monologues.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, and if people aren't familiar with that, that's an Eve Ensler play, which actually travels kind of all over for the United States. Various different people participate, and they do casting calls for this. And what was your tryout like? What was that like?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so we have the La Jolla Playhouse here in San Diego, which is very renowned, actually, for the small seating that they have. A lot of people come to it. So they're doing the Vagina Monologues on March 18th.
Oh,
and if you're not
familiar, we got a caller. Hold on just a second, Beverly.
Okay.
We've got a caller. Caller, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi there. What's your name?
Alice.
Hi, Alice. Welcome to the Shame Free Zone. Did you have a question or a comment for our author, Beverly Gopp?
Well, I understand that she wrote the book Gratitude.
Yes.
Choose gratitude when SH blah blah doesn't hit the fan.
Yes. Yes. It's
and
true.
I just wanted to let her know that it is the most brilliant magazine. I'm 75, and I'm going through a lot of health problems. I'm going through a lot of getting old, and I don't like it. And just picking the book up, I carry it with me everywhere. I saved my life. It absolutely saved my life.
Aw, Alice, that's so sweet. What was going on before you bought the book, and what's the difference now?
Before I bought the book, well, I'd forget to do gratitudes. Gratitudes actually pick you up by your hair roots and set you back on the road. I had forgotten to do them. And with the book around and carrying it with me, I carry it in my car. I put it on. I go to the living room. I put it there just in case I get hit. So before that, I'd get into suicidal depressions.
Wow.
And I don't want to do that to my kids. I don't want to do that to my family. I've gone to other suicides, and I just wouldn't do that. I made a vow at that time. That would never happen, and suddenly here I am. So it really has saved my life.
Wow, that's amazing. I'm almost speechless. That's huge. So did you buy the book over 30 days ago? Do you continue to do the gratitudes?
Last summer.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, I published in May. Okay.
May. I had got into the hospital, and I had a few death experiences that I pulled through. And I came home, and I was wondering just what in the world, why? Why am I still here? Well, I'm volunteering for clinics. I'm volunteering in libraries. And it was because of the gratitude book.
Oh, what a difference. So you actually went out to help others and serve others.
Absolutely. Well, I'm a nurse, and so that's...
You're already a nurturer.
I didn't have that clinic to go to. I was feeling so sorry for myself, I didn't think I could help anybody else. It's
a great
emotional
gift that is.
You're hearing, and I'm not.
My whole body is just vibrating in love for you, Alice. It's just, what a wonderful story.
Thank you so much for the energy exchange.
Yeah, I really feel that. I'm so glad you're able to help other people. And do you teach them about gratitude as well now?
When I get a chance to.
That would be lovely to share. You know, it's just 10 gratitude today. That's it.
As a nurse, you have to stay within the curriculum of medicine. But I put that in.
Oh, slip them a note in their pocket.
I can.
Right.
Alice, you're an inspiration, and I love that you got into service. That is such a wonderful way to get out of ourselves and out of our own problems to help others.
And I couldn't have taken that step without the Beverly, what's her name, gratitude book.
Yes, Beverly Harper Goff.
Beverly Harper Goff.
I like Beverly, what's her
right
name?
Now.
That's great.
Well, thank you, Alice. Thank you so much.
Thank you for being there, Beverly. And thank you for the radio show that I could share that with.
Oh, God bless you. God bless you, Alice.
God bless you.
Well, that was just beautiful,
wow.
Wasn't it, Beverly?
Wow, that caused some wet eyes.
Yeah,
that was amazing.
Yeah, it really was. It is amazing. Isn't it wonderful to know? I think what's so powerful is that you're sharing from your heart. You're sharing really seriously from your heart, and this is a time when so many people need hope and inspiration.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Is that the first time you've gotten that kind of feedback from one of your readers?
I had to that degree, yes. I don't think I've ever had anyone that was so closely associated with suicide before, that I'm aware of. So wow, that's I'm so in having an out of body experience.
Yes,
you know what I mean. I keep thinking of that woman, just thinking, wow, really? Like
Beverly, what's your name?
Beverly, what's your name?
That's so great. That's just so great. It's just so raw, honest.
I wanted to tell her to listen because I want her to know about the Vijantic gratitudes as well.
Well, what would you like to share with Alice about the Vijantic gratitudes?
Well, okay, so we were, before she called, we were talking about the vagina monologues and the fact that I had auditioned for them. So I found out on Thursday morning that the auditions were Friday. And I've seen the show on HBO, but I never saw the play live. But, you know, I'm familiar with it. And so I looked it up, and I got, you know, the whole play. so I, you know, could see the words. And the I was the first to go, and I recited pretty near the beginning of the play, which, if you're not familiar with the Vagina Monologues, what it is Eve Ensler has a play where, as a playwright and just a writer, she's very curious about stories of women. And these women often talked about their, you know, previous lives, and they had all these epiphanies, and it soon became discussions about the vagina. And so she called them the Vagina Monologues, because through rape and incest and falling in love and having sex for the first time, or being scared or being horny or being ooh la la, you know, she takes on all these voices, and it's a one-woman show. So you can see why I would be very excited to do this. Oh, my gosh. And it's a totally out-of-the-box, pardon the pun,
yes,
moment for me to audition. I haven't auditioned for anything since Wizard of Oz in high school, when I didn't get, you know, Glinda the Good Witch.
Yes, so, yes.
It was very, very different that I just decided to do this. And so, as a matter of fact, I called you, Veronica, to get some good vagina stories.
Yes, you did.
And you gave me some great terminology that I never had a chance to use, because I just did this the reciting.
Well,
and the reading.
Yeah. That's what you get for consulting with a sexologist.
Yeah, right. I know. But yeah, it was amazing. I was amazed at the different facts. Something like 6,000 nerve endings in that area for us. Just
yes, in the clitoris, yeah. Not the vagina.
Ah, okay. See, we don't even know. Well,
yeah.
Okay. So when I'm,
but the clitoris,
when I'm doing the audition, it's the part where she's at a workshop. And the workshop is to find your vagina, and they're given these handheld mirrors. And so as she starts to speak about this, she's, you know, talking about how embarrassed she is, and it's uncomfortable, but she's looking, and she knows it's there somewhere, because, to be honest, she's never really seen it. Well, she saw it once in childbirth, but that was when it was engorged in purple and red, so, you know, it wasn't very appealing, although it was a lovely, beautiful event. And so as she's looking through the mirror and going through all these things, she thinks she sees something, and she has this epiphany right in that moment, which is she's given her vagina away, and she gave it away to someone else to make her happy. Happiness as in having orgasm and having pleasure. And it was in this realization of this moment, looking at her own self, that she realizes she doesn't even know her vagina. She's never even seen her vagina. She doesn't have any intimacy of her vagina at all.
Wow.
Because her partner, her husband, her boyfriend, her fiancé, he's been in charge of her vagina.
Yeah.
And she realizes then that she gave her vagina away when she was probably, what, 6, 7 years old? When she started walking on eggshells around the father, you know, her father in the house. And it's just through this awareness that you develop. I'm not reciting anymore, but this is what I recited at the very beginning. I changed some of the words and added to it, because as I'm reciting this, I'm having my own epiphany about giving the vagina away. Those were my words, actually,
right.
Not part of the Eve Ensler play, because I had this epiphany on that stage. And ever since then, Veronica, I cannot stop talking about the vagina. And it's exactly that. What I've learned is that we know so little about our own. Lesbians and men know so much more about them. And it's,
you know,
it's
interesting
how,
because I've obviously had a vagina all my life. And being a bisexual woman, I've seen a few as well that were not my own.
Yeah, we've never had that.
You know, and as a sexologist and a sex educator, I'm thoroughly trained in anatomy and sexual response, as well as being thoroughly experienced just from my own life. But I'm reading a book written by a former midwife by the name of Sherry Winston. Excellent, excellent book. The cover's blurb by Christiane Northrup, which is a
leading
doctor.
I love
and
her.
she's talking about things I never knew. I never knew that some women urinate from the part of their body that is between the clitoris and the vagina, while other women urinate from inside the vagina.
Yeah, who would? I wouldn't have known that.
So this is like new information for me. I'm like, really? So some urination in some women, and why it is that some women are constructed one way and other women are constructed another, that's a mystery. But the fact is there are two different types of female anatomy. They're perfectly normal and very healthy. And then something that all women have are something called the vestibular bulbs, and these lie between the legs of the clitoris. So the glands of the clitoris is at the top of the vulva, but the legs extend underneath the labia and down to the entrance of the vagina. And inside those legs, if you will, are these bulbs, which are basically erectile tissue. And you could stimulate those by pulling on the labia very gently.
Ah.
And if once the vestibular bulbs become erect, it creates a puffy vulva. So the vulva feels kind of like it's taken on water or something. It's puffy and
wow.
It's firm. And at that point, a woman is fully aroused, so penetration can be enjoyable. But I think what happens for a lot of women is that they attempt penetration, whether they're with themselves or with a partner, they'll attempt penetration before that puffiness occurs. And, you know, just because you have started to lubricate does not mean that you are fully engorged and ready to receive penetration. So this is stuff that I'm just learning now, and I think about the extensive experience and education I've got, how just little this information has been available. And the fact that it came from the midwife, I think, was very telling too, because there's almost a division between the people who are educated around birth and the people that are educated around sexuality. And really, those two should not be separated like that, because we're talking about all the many wonderful ways in which the female genitalia function. And
that's I think, where, you know, most of us have this shame around our own, you know, vaginal parts and genitalia and
Absolutely.
Don't want to talk. It's such an interesting contrast to see the way men, you know, talk about their anatomy and so proud, and they have the put down, you know, for the small size or whatnot. And, you know, I mean, they talk about masturbation as just a rite of passage. It's a normal thing. You would never deny it.
Right.
Where for us, let alone talk about it, how many women don't even do it? They're afraid to.
Yeah.
You know, the night before that I auditioned, I'm gathering all these stories about vaginas, right? Because everybody has a vagina story. They're pretty funny. And so my mother starts to tell me this story about how she's taking care of herself. And part of me is very curious, as a reporter would be, over, you know, this is going to be a funny story. And then the other part of me is like, la, 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 this is my mother, this is gross, ah. So she's telling me this story, how she thinks she has the house to herself, and, you know, you lock, you know, all 32 doors, hoping no one will come in, and she's right in the throes of almost being done when my younger brother comes in with his friend.
Oh, my God. This is an amazing story from your mother, I have to say.
My mom's pretty damn cool.
No kidding.
Yeah, in my house, you know, masturbation was a topic at age 8.
Well, hallelujah.
Yes.
I think that's fabulous. So seriously, so what happens? Your brothers walk in with their friends, and your mom's
okay,
right in the middle
of it. Yeah, he walks in with his friend, and she's, you know, obviously she doesn't get to complete, and they are shamed into leaving. And so she, you know, gets herself all prepared and cleans up whatever and waits a little bit to come out. So she, because she, you know, you can imagine to face somebody after that is their friend.
Your face a little flushed.
Yeah, you're a little flushed. So she goes out and she says, she puts her hand on her hip in just like this very matter-of-fact way and just goes striding across the room and into the kitchen and says, well, I guess from now on you'll knock before you enter a door, won't you?
Oh, my God!
Isn't that great?
Oh, that is fabulous. So, and what did your brother's friends say?
I have no idea.
Oh, my God.
I have no idea. I don't know.
How old were they?
Teenagers. So at that horrifying, embarrassing, mother don't even look at me sideways age, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that must have been quite the moment for them. It's probably shaped the rest of their lives.
Yeah, it cracks me up. But I heard all kinds of interesting stories. The day after the audition, I met one of the stars at Lips, which is a cabaret, and they have drag queens and impersonators. And so I met the star and this other lady, and they were telling me so much more about vaginas as well. I mean, you know, because he's seen a lot of them too.
Yeah.
And it's just such an epiphany when you realize, you know, especially this, not only that we don't know it as well and don't recognize it or even honor it,
right?
Really,
yes.
But the idea that we've given our vagina away long ago because we've allowed someone else to own our identity. We've allowed someone else to be responsible for our happiness. We've quieted the raw pussycat that she is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
More women I talk to, the more they understand exactly that. And as I speak, you might notice that she starts to stand up and take notice a little bit.
Yeah. Beverly, hold on a second. We got a caller coming in. Caller, welcome to the Shame Free Zone.
Hi. Hey.
Hi.
I'm so glad to talk with you.
I'm so glad you're calling. Who's this?
My name's Cindy Corey.
Hi. Hi, Cindy. Do you have a question or comment for Beverly Gopp?
I do. I read her book, did her journal, even when she hit the fan. Loved it. But I'm wondering what transpired her, what got her to go towards the vagina monocle?
Say it again. What got me to audition? Hi, Cindy.
Yes. What persuaded you? What really invigorated you to go towards the vagina monologue?
Well, I just started doing it in my head. I had heard about it, I think Wednesday night, that there were these auditions coming up. And so I do this meditative thing in the bathtub where I'm, you know, meditating and I'm doing affirmations and just allowing. And when I was done with that and my gratitude, I just started kind of doing my own version of the vagina monologues in my head, and it was hilarious. And it was so funny and it was so profound. I still hadn't gotten this huge epiphany, you know, that I got on stage, but I just had to do it. And the more excited I got about it, the more my stomach just felt right. You know how when something feels right, your stomach responds and you kind of get those butterflies of happiness?
Butterflies of happiness at the vagina monologues. I like that.
Yes.
Yeah, that's perfect.
That's why. What a way to empower the womanhood. Yeah. Well, I went in with no expectations either, because I remember a lot of people asking, even on Facebook, because, of course, I was so excited, and I was, you know, interviewing people left and right about vagina stories. I mean, I was even talking to the guys at the Apple store. They certainly seem to know a lot about vaginas.
Funny.
Ask a bunch of 20-year-old dudes about vaginas. You'll get some stories, I guarantee it.
Yeah, probably not all correct, but yeah, okay.
their experience, but no, but it was so interesting. So when I went, I really didn't even know when they were playing. I didn't know how many people would be in it. I read Kolb, which I later learned was a term. I didn't even know there was such a term. I just took the piece of paper and read it. You know what I mean? Everybody
right.
else was practicing and doing. I had no idea. But that's not what it was about, right? It was about that epiphany for me and the wonder that I've been able to now have these conversations with other people. And as a matter of fact, I'm giving a talk. Cindy, are you in San Diego by any chance?
Well, I am. I'm right on North County in Paula, next to Riverside.
Oh, okay, because I'm doing a talk at the OHM Spiritual Center in La Mesa on Thursday, which will be this very topic, which is the Vagantic Gratitudes.
Wow, Beverly, you don't waste any time. You don't waste any time, girl.
I have things to say. She has things to say.
Well, give us a hint.
Oh, my goodness.
Give us a hint. What are you going to say?
Well, I want to start by, of course, you know, telling my story and explaining that. But as we started to talk about is when you start talking about the vagina, you will notice that she starts to stand up and take notice. It's just a connection. It's not even sexual. And it's probably happening now for any women that are listening. You'll notice a little tingling and a little sensation. And what that is connection. And we've been programmed to be afraid of that connection. And that it's not sexual. It's just connection. We are the life force. We are women. We give birth. We're the spiritual openings, the awakenings. And so as you start talking about the vagina and the opening and the root chakra, this is where vagantic gratitudes come in.
Mm. Mm.
I think that's very empowering.
Mm. Say hallelujah, sisters.
It really is. I've always been afraid.
I love the idea of the vagina standing up and taking notice.
That is amazing.
Well, yeah, because she does. We do. It's like a...
Well, the truth is...
I think they're called... What aren't those things called periscopes?
We never get to speak about a vagina.
No, wait a second.
What?
What'd you say, Cindy?
Oh, we never get to speak about our vaginas.
No.
Men do it all the time. They grab themselves in public, and that's okay.
That's right.
You know, there's masturbating, and that's just fine. And, you know, they have that joy all the time. We never. We feel ashamed. You know, if we ever admit that or talk about that. Or even pulling our panties up, we get teased and ridiculed.
It's true.
We're not supposed to ever go down there.
Their underwear is shorts. Ours are panties.
I know, right? I love the sound of panties. It is so feminine.
Hmm. So we're getting down. We've probably got about another 6 or 7 minutes here to the program.
Okay.
Cindy, was there anything else that you wanted to ask or comment about?
No, I just think it's awesome and it's amazing that somebody finally just, you know, stands up. I know the vagina monologues have been around for a long time.
Right.
But I think it's awesome that Beverly Gopp has chosen to include this into her new book.
Mm.
I mean, it It's so feminine. It's awesome. We need this.
Yeah.
After all these years of, you know, segregation and low pay and women's rights, we need to stand up for ourselves.
Yeah,
we really
absolutely.
Do.
Yeah, I'm at a point now where I feel like I am completely reframing my relationship to my vagina. And, you know, it's amazing to me. I've had a very active relationship with her, but I haven't felt like it's been one that was a two-way communication.
Right.
So, you know, to really open to the idea of getting feedback that my vagina is very close to my heart, and sometimes knows more about my subconscious and my true needs and desires than I do.
Absolutely.
Oh,
we are so
sure.
intricate.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's amazing. So thank you, Beverly.
Oh,
you're welcome. Thanks
awesome.
For calling, Cindy. I hope you'll be able to go. Check me out on Facebook.
Yeah, I will. Totally. I'm there.
I'm just go to Facebook and then /choosegratitude. And that's my fan page, and I post daily motivation and inspiration.
Okay.
And you'll see me.
Yeah, I'm on Facebook.
That
I
event.
Definitely will check you out.
Thanks. Give me a like.
What's
cool.
That? Oh, yes. I will. I like you. You're an awesome person.
Thanks, Cindy. Thanks for calling into the Shame Free Zone. So,
okay.
So Beverly, you're very popular this evening. I think you've hit a nerve.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. That's fun. Well, here's what I think should happen. I think I'm going to start a whole vagantic gratitude surge, and all the vaginas are going to stand up and take notice, like little periscopes in the world. And they're all going to stand up, and we're all going to have this incredible connection. And you know what's going to happen on December 12th that everybody's afraid of?
Yes.
It's
December 21st,
we're
actually.
We're taking over the world. We're taking over the world.
Well,
that's the day.
That is a great fear for some of the people in power, that China's might take over the world.
Yeah. We'll band together. No more war.
One of the things that really speaks to me, one of the things that really speaks to me when you're talking about vaginas is the idea that this is a portal. This is where life comes through. And when you think about it that way, you know, that the womb is in some ways this place where spirit beings come in from another realm. And I think that in and of itself just makes it profoundly sacred and amazing. And I think that's one of the reasons that the ancients worshipped vaginas and they worshipped women. I mean, it was something that was very mystical, if you will.
Yes, and it's why our power was taken away, because we are the life force.
Yeah.
We are the givers of life. For everything, all things, and then it being the human species, wow.
and
it is the root chakra, so it is the beginning of all spiritual oneness and awareness.
Sure. Yeah, it is. Well, where can our listeners get a copy of your book one last time here before we get off the air? And also, where can they hear you give your first lecture presentation about vigantic gratitude?
Okay. So just go to Amazon.com and search for Choose Gratitude, Not Attitude. And that'll give you both books, Be Grateful, and the journal is Choose Gratitude, Not Attitude, Even When Shit Hits the Fan. And then if you go to my Facebook page, just /choosegratitude, and I'll post there, and there's events. So on Thursday, February 9th,
right?
I will be at the Spiritual Home Center in La Mesa, and that will be the premier show of the Vigantic Gratitude.
Oh, I know you're going to do well, and I hope somebody's going to be videotaping it and can put it up on YouTube for those of us who aren't going to be there to see.
Oh, good idea.
Yeah.
Good idea. Yeah. I'm
all right,
going to have fun with it.
Yes. Well, I know that you're going to be awesome because you are just all fired up.
Yes. Well, thank you, Veronica. I really appreciate the time tonight.
Oh, it was my pleasure. My pleasure. We'll have you back on again, maybe after you've, presented the gigantic gratitudes in a few places, and you can talk about it as your material gets developed. Beverly Harbor Gopp, she's our gratitude guru and author of Choose Gratitude, Not Attitude, Even When the Shit Hits the Fan. So next week, I'm going to be interviewing Chief Philip Scott, and we're going to be talking about Native American sexuality. I hope you'll join us then. Thanks so much for tuning in, and good night.
Thank you for tuning in tonight. If you liked what you heard and you want more solutions for your love life, please call me toll-free at 888-903-0050. Once again, that number is 888-903-0050. I am the only person who answers that line, and I am usually available Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. You can also visit sexwithoutshame.com to discover more of what I can do for you. And remember, your secret is safe with you. Sering kesepian.